it's most affecting a person to want to change, it's going to be pain. You know, they get relatively comfortable and things getting stuck and more and more and more constrained and more problems until one day, you know, look, if you ask people, when did that period pain start? It wasn't this morning. Hmm. When did that sore neck first happen? Well, it's a reignition of something that might have happened 71 years ago. But here they are now, because today it crossed a line. And so now that they're concerned with pain. And so the pain that they've got is they can't, it doesn't feel comfortable enough for them to be able to carry on with what they've got. And so the patients that I used to have coming in had given up on every damn thing. And as a last resort, they were going to the local acupuncturist. Now, you know, I looked about 15 or 16 when I was in my early 20s when I was doing this. So of course, they were, you know, like the same age as my great-grandmother, probably, some of them, because I had people in their 80s and 90s, as a matter of course, because shingles, post-herpetic pain and trigeminal neuralgia was colossal. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you take away the neurological problems, which they had, and other ones left standing. Now, they had really good constitutions, because if you go, and this is why I've done this, because if you look at, there's me working in 79, starting my own business. We don't have to, see, look, there's, if we say 80, see, if we go back to here, they were born, you know, to be 50, they were there. So they were born not so very long ago. Well, it looks like a long time now. But, that you know, they were born back here. Now, what was happening back here? Well, we had the Great Depression. Imagine what your gene was going to be like. Mm. We had the Great War. We had another war there, wherever the hang it was. There, I'm sure there was all sorts of connections going on. And then, you know, like, so stuff was going on. Now, this is just the white world, granted, but that's, we're all probably white, mostly, watching this. And then there were Boer Wars and Crimean Wars and goodness knows what, you know, there's all sorts of things going on. And if you want to get a bit silly about it, when did chloroform happen? Where did antibiotics happen? When did gas lights start? When did electricity start? You know, like, you could go and do a little things that we take for granted here. And here you are, taking for granted what you've got. And I'm going, well, it's not my reality. In my reality, I started acupuncture when it was just legalised in the state of California. Prior to that, it had been completely illegal and you'd be trotted off to jail if you were daring to put, you know, practising medicine without a licence. So you might ask yourself, what is medicine? Because the grandmothers have been doing it forever. You know, your chicken soup. Parsley tea. Whatever. I mean, it's in the garden. Medicine's in the garden. It grows in the forest. It gets monetized, and now all of a sudden only some people are allowed to dispense it. But that, again, is that side of the page. I'm talking about who tends the human. And as mammals, is it the dads looking after them? No. It's the mum that's keeping everybody safe. And if you look at a herd of elephants, well, it's the matriarch again. Why? Because the men are out there with their testosterone knocking each other off. So we're looking at what created the pain, okay? Now, the pain that people were coming in was mainly physical because they physically had such incredible knees and they had such hot, throbbing joints. So it wasn't it good I was a naturopath and a Western herbalist and an acupuncturist because I could tell them what to do, whether they did it or not, because, of course, you know, let's go back to the fact that I was looking too young. I would suggest that they might stop eating what they were eating and eat something else. Oh, you're a naturopath. No. This is causing an inflammatory response in your body. Now, if you then go and have a think back what people used to do, well, TV wasn't on all night. There was no such thing as a mobile phone. Or an answering machine. When I started work, there was no such, you know, just come out. You had to rent them. amusing, isn't it? So I'm just saying that, you know, back there in that practice, I thought it was a late night when I didn't get home till 6 o'clock because everybody went home to have dinner. You know, when I was working here, I was seeing the last one at 8:30 at night. Mm. And now I occasionally see people 6:30 in the morning on Saturday because that's the only time they can see me. And I'm running, you know, I'm running close to the margins. And so I will see people when they come in at the moment. And so when we're looking at what sort of people were coming in here, they had pain. They had menstrual pain. They had menstrual pain like you wouldn't believe, because they were told they're a woman and to suck it. They were told that's just what happened when you're a woman. There was if there wasn't Ponstan, there wasn't anything. Now, I don't know if anybody here's heard of Ponstan.
My mum was allergic to it.
Well, Ponstan was the drug. Now, who discovered it? A woman with period pain. And how did she do that? She got pissed off enough as a doctor by being told by all of her doctor friends that she just had to suck it up, sister. Because that's what happened when you had periods. And she thought, surely not. And so she trawled without Google all through the medical literature. And I don't know what year Ponstan was discovered, but it was the year that she found something to fix herself. And so she decided that because the uterus was a smooth muscle and the heart was the same, she was going to find herself something that worked on the heart for pain, and maybe it would work on the uterus. So she trialled everything out until she came by the drug that's now called Ponstan, which was the only thing that helped. And if you had the sort of period pain she had, weren't you lucky, because you had something for it. They didn't know about magnesium. We're going to get into that in a minute. They didn't know about all sorts of other things that I would do instead. You know, like the uterus tipped in the wrong position can fall over on itself, then go all around about the joint, and then get tied up in knots, and then everything's congested behind it. Where's the iodine? We'll cover that. So I'm just saying that it's a bit like Lorenzo's oil. Well, Lorenzo had a mum. And mum wasn't going to have this carry on for anybody else's child, because she felt the trauma of what was going on her own. Well, the men with their patented drugs weren't in the slightest bit interested. So she, without Google, somehow got through all the medical literature and discovered what was going on with him and how to fix it for the other parents. So when I'm going back to the pain that I was having with patients coming in, and mainly little old ladies, okay, so I remember Mrs. Glossop. Now, Mrs. Glossop, I would make two of. Poor young thing. She had, I don't know, she's probably 60, which sounded old at the time, given I'm 62 nearly. She had been through the Depression, probably on the streets as a prostitute. She had lost 4/5 of her stomach, because that was the only treatment for bleeding stomach ulcers. They kept on cutting bits out. So she would have had more and more and more scars around here. She was in a bit of a mess. She couldn't roll over on my couch, so I could only work on her front. She would only come after 10 o'clock in the morning, because that's when the bus was half price. The bus at the time was 20 cents down to 10 cents, and I was charging $4 a treatment, and I suggested I'd charge her nothing, and she was going to give me $2 a week. My total clinic expenses were $25 a week, and that included my tax, and you know, I had, you know, $4, so that's 6 patients. Do the maths. We didn't have GST either. It wasn't that hard to work 2 days a week as a single mother and live totally elsewhere, which is what I did, and fund my life and go off to see other presentations very well. Welcome to the 1970s. We're somewhere else now. So there I am with all these patients with pain. So they were coming in, and I had to get them better, because there wasn't anything else. They had me or nothing. So I got to thinking, why is it not working? You might write that question down. This is a very ethical question, I think. Why is what I was taught not working? I did the same with birth. I don't think birth should hurt. Why does it hurt? It's a bit like the lady with a Ponstan, you know? Don't think this should be going on. What can I do about it? Now, of course, pain. What is pain? Pain is the chi not moving. Chi is something not flowing. You only have pain because there is blockage. Oh, we're a bit pissed off about what's going on. Shall we look at causes of disease? Is it ethical to talk about vaccination? Oh, Heather, naughty topic. Well, what does vaccination do? It doesn't help you get well. It doesn't help your body to have a great immune system. It corrupts it. No, it doesn't. Yes, it does. I've done the research. So, you want to go and have a look at causes of disease. Well, I'm just going to go somewhere else with that. Causes of disease. I have got Vimeo presentations on all sorts of things. That's one of them, from a patient's mainly. You might need to reintroduce Acupuncture 101 to yourself. Causes of disease. Emotional. Climatic. Miscellaneous, otherwise known as other, great, Yeah, one of those, about 15, is bugs.
Let's just all get carried away about that, shall we? Hello. What's normal? Well, normal is your body goes, oh, there's a bug.
Bang.
There's a cancer cell.
Bang. Why are we not doing that now?
Oh, because we've got civilised and we're bright about these things. So I'm here to tell you this is not really biologically sustainable. And that's my definition of ethics for today. Is it biologically sustainable? Because I don't think most of what we are up to is. And so if we're going to look at causes of disease, that's your TCM model. I'm not going to go through it, you should not. But the one you might not have come upon is one that's in a book called, written by a woman called Terry Clifford, who's dead. I think it's an I, but I'm not sure, might be a Y, Clifford. 1980, she wrote a book called Psychiatry and Tibetan Medicine or something. Anyway, in that, she's talking about the four classifications of disease. And the four classifications of disease I'm going to put on my line. We've got the life-threatening. We've got the immediate, as in, you know, you're going to get over that cold, chicken pox, whatever. Then you've got the evil spirit position. Oh, heaven, whoops. Chinese don't talk about that yet, but they used to. What do you think all that let's stamp out and killing 60 million people did? Sorry if you're Chinese, but you do have a history. It's been written out like the women's history and the Māori and New Zealand. You know, like the victors always win. And the other one is karmic. So if you've got a karmic problem, going off to somebody who's going to give you some pills and potions quite might not be the idea. You might need to find the person whose job it is to sort that out. Who may or may not be the same person who's going to sort that out. Let's go back to beliefs. Dr. Donnelly Herponte, why don't we do something about clearing the energy? Why don't we get our sovereignty back? Why don't we stand in true and tell them all to piss off? We're in this body. It would be a good idea, really. Oh no, we're all going to go over here and go, oh, we're going to do this, we will die. Yeah, we're all going to. That's silly. Are we going to live well? There's another question. Is it biologically sustainable? What are we calling quality of life? Quality of life for whom? The person who's going to make lots of money by telling you have to do all of this or else something terrible's going to happen. No, it's not. It just isn't. Look at cancer. How ethical is that? 3.4% likely to be better after 5 years of oncology than if they were left alone. Well, you know, I think it's a lot silly we're doing. We're going off, oh, it will kill us, it will kill us. The fear will kill you. Causes of disease. Chi's not going to flow. Chi doesn't flow, you're in trouble. And then the climatic factors. Well, if you're stupid enough to stand outside because somebody in a book wrote that it's really good to stand on the earth, Mother Earth's going to sustain you. If you're female, you've got all these things going on. Kidney one, hello, right up there into here, now what? But it says in the book, yeah, it's probably written by a man. He's got more yang. I mean, I was following survival into the 21st century in the time that I was making that first baby, not a good idea. I went bright yellow, as you would expect I would, with half a 44 bag of carrots juiced a week, along with about, I don't know, maybe 20 oranges eaten a week out of the fridge. And how many mangoes? Same again. Yeah, I was doing acupuncture at the time. I stopped that pretty quickly. Well, actually I wasn't. That was before I started doing acupuncture. As a vegan macrobiotic, I can tell you, eating all of that cold and sweet and raw doesn't work. And I have the body to prove it. I have been through the maternal university. I have done rather a lot of things that other people come in and I do not judge them. I sort of try and look very grandmotherly and look over my glasses at them and go, do you know that to be true? Is it working? You know, I ask them awkward questions. And I ask awkward questions of students now that I'm mentor because me telling you anything's not going to work. I've got kids, almost 40, you know. You're not going to listen. You're going to have to live it, but you might pay attention one day. And you're going to run into the same problem with your patients because they're not listening either. No, they've got to live it as well. So she wrote this, first of all, that I saw, which is the Tibetan classifications of disease. So you've got better Tibetan classifications of disease. Now, if it's life-threatening, do something about it. If it's going to come and go, you should have actually been looking after yourself better. Hello, there's the mother's. The mother's. Taurus again. Look, here we go. Home remedies. If you're so stupid as to transgress what is going on, well then you might go there. But we're not here to die. before we've gone through our seasons of a life and done our 7 and 8 year cycles and reproduced, which is sex equals babies, go back to dear old fertility acupuncture, just what the hell do you think you're doing? So then we've got evil spirit possession, not going to talk about it, exactly. So what do you think the way chi does? Just what do you think the way chi does? Karmic. Well, there's me in the middle, in the top circle, just like that. It's in there. It's going to happen. So what does it mean? Results of past thoughts or actions. Okay. And we've got a bit of an awkward thing here because we've got these things called thought forms, which some of you might not know about. I know rather a lot because I've done the Antikrine meditation. So here we're going to put this person back in their cage. Something might go wrong. Something bad will happen. Yeah, it will. It's called a negative thought form. How do you think you're doing? Kinesiology works, homeopathic works, all on the other side of the page. You know, and we could do that demonstration, which I'm not going to do, and you can do yourself at home. Get someone, put their arm up like that, just do a muscle test on them, get them to think of something that they really like doing, and it's as hard as a rock. Get them to think of something that really pisses them off. They have to feel it, you have to feel it yourself. Of course, if you're switched, you might want to be massaging kidney 27 or whatever the hell else you think you might. Have a drink of water, whatever. Think of something that really, you really love again and be strong again. Okay, so that person might have 70,000 thoughts a day and at least 90% of them are going to be you're no good ones to themselves. So how do you think that's going to work with their chi? Not very good. Stuck liver chi again. Where did all that come from? Probably mum. Why? Because she's a woman. Ah, women's business. Dodgy. Need to go and see what the men say, otherwise it's not validated. Let's go and get a degree. Here we go again. Well, what's the ethics of all of that negative self-talk? What is the ethics of I'm only going to be good, equate with happy, when something that somebody else said I need to do is done? What about all of the breaths you're going to take between here and there? You could at least have been standing up straight. Oh no, I've got these great big breasts. And another man might look at me and so I'll hunch over like that. So I'm 6 foot, but I'm wandering around looking like that. That's not actually functional. We actually need to be allowing our chi to move, and that means our diaphragm's going to have to, which means we're going to have to talk to our patients about educating the body to do what it was supposed to do. And I would have thought being an acupuncturist was about being an educator. Standing in for mum. Standing in for grandma. Look, if you're getting really fed up with me talking about women, how do you think the women feel about the men's business only thing written down? How do you think they feel about the sperm's great at 4%? If she had 4% of her eggs in a decent state, and that was called fertile, there might be a little bit of yelling and screaming from the men. But there's nothing from the women. They go, oh, the sperm's fine. The doctor said it was. No, it isn't. It's not making you pregnant. It's not making a baby that's sustainable. And I'm here to tell you that if I go back to my timeline, just on the subject of sperm, because it irritates me a lot. In 2010, the men in the World Health Organization decreed that only 4% of them needed to look normal, which is a normal-looking head and a normal-looking tail. However, and I don't remember all of the dates because I can't be bothered. Here, the first, and you can look it up, World Health Organization, you know, this is the first manual that they did. This is the fifth. It had to be 80.5%. And somewhere in here, it all took a dive down into ridiculous, and I'm sorry I don't remember it, but it went from 50% to 30% to 15%. And now here we have some bright spark 6 years ago saying, look, it's okay, it just has to be 4%. That'll work. No. Back when it had to be 15%, they wouldn't do ICSI if it was not more than 4%. Now, the men are aspiring to 4%. Okay. So let's have a trawl through here, this fertility practice, shall we? In the time when sex made babies and people used to ring me up because they wanted me to give them an abortion with acupuncture,
What part of fertility is that?
if they weren't talking about fertility, they were talking about, I've got a problem, it's causing me pain, I don't want this baby and I don't want to have an abortion, can you put some needles in, please? And I would say, no. And some of them would have been cops ringing up to see if they could shut me down.
Mm.
Okay? But the no was, no, I'm a mother. But beyond that, it is natural for your body to go through a pregnancy. If I do anything to stuff up the energy, whether it's herbal or whether it's with acupuncture, we're going to have a problem. You need to go to Greenslopes Clinic and get the procedure done and then come back. Nobody did. And I will rebalance everything. Or, if I had them on the couch and they'd gotten that far, I'd suggest to them that they might want to go and talk to the soul of the child and have a conversation and work it out between them, which would probably mean she'd stay pregnant. Just saying. I mean, you know, there are consequences for actions. I'm a mother again. And we might need to put some heart back into our medicine, because what the hang do you think you're doing? Shall we go back to placebo? Ted Kaptrup. We're talking about the needles, the pill, the procedure, or we're talking about the surrogate marker. We're holding the space. We're witnessing them. Ted himself, after he'd written that book, did have a bit of a problem because everybody wanted the next download, which was going to be really good and concrete like that. And all the men in the room, this is back in Brisbane in the beginning of 86, all crossed their arms and legs and looked daggers at him because he wasn't teaching what they wanted to hear. He had had an epiphany. People have got hearts. He'd gone out of his TCM content. They'd gone into practice where people were going to kill themselves because they're in so much pain. We're in pain again. And they invariably did because he was in an intractable pain clinic. And he discovered people started to get better and looked better. They had hope. You might look up an article written by Bob Flores back in the early 90s called The Importance of Shen and Prognosis. The Importance of Shen and Prognosis. Oh, Heather, you're giving this person false hope. Okay, so here's a false hope story. Deviation slightly, you learn from stories. Back in that beginning clinic, isn't it good the doorway was wide enough and the lift was wide enough to fit his wheelchair? Came in a guy who was 21. When he was 15, tell me this isn't karmic, he was sitting in a tree watching a yacht race and he fell out of the and hit a big log with the only log in the river and broke his back in three places. Mm. Right. Anyway, I was treating his sister for period pain. Of course I was, because there's no such thing as progesterone. There was no such thing as an endometriosis diagnosis. There was no such thing as scanning, let alone keyhole surgery. And women just had to suck it up and so forth. And so I was treating her for period pain and her brother was this kid in question. And she wondered if I could help him with his depression and his really bad bladder infections because the catheter. Mm-hmm. Now, this kid comes in really muscle-bound because he has such bad muscle spasms that he gets thrown out of his wheelchair, he gets thrown out of his bed. So he's got plenty of muscles there. Of course, I haven't done TCM acupuncture. I've done classical acupuncture. Oh, the wind in the gum vessel, no problem. I'll just clear out the wind in the gum vessel, you'll be fine. Didn't say that to him. I thought, well, if Anton Jayasuriya in Sri Lanka can have people carried in and they walk out from their paralysis, I must be able to work it out myself. So I did. Until everybody said it couldn't happen, so he stopped coming. Anyway, so in the meantime, there's me using my gold and silver needles and sorting out the wind in the gum vessel and not telling him what I'm doing. You know, he's getting himself on the bed. Of course he can get himself on the bed. He's got all these bloody muscles. He's got to sleep on the floor on a mattress and then get himself up into the chair to carry on with his day. The lives you don't live, you don't know about. Yes, he was in considerable pain. He was never going to have an orgasm. He was never going to have anything that you people expect to have with your sons. Anyway, came in, he told, oh, I'm getting pens and needles and a ties. I'm like, oh, good. I carry on doing what I'm doing. I don't see him again because one day he's sitting there watching telly and he decides to do that. For those who can't see it, he's sitting down and he lifts his, you know, he lifts his leg up because he told it to. He wheels himself into Yogyakarta house, into his parents because he's living with his parents, and they send him down to the PA hospital, QuickSmart, to have the reality check that he has a severed spinal cord and it cannot get better. In three places, not just one, but three places. So I stopped seeing him. So what are you doing with your limitations over there with that bunch and their black hats? Just what are you doing? So a third of your course was Western medicine. Jolly good. That's called, let's shut everybody down. It's qi medicine, people. Qi is about the shen too. So it's not about the physical. The physical is why we're here. But we are here by virtue of having a driver that might, like me, be thinking, oh, bullshit, I'm surely we can do something better. And so we do something different. Oh, no, we don't, because we all have to go, so-and-so said this at this year. Who cares? It's written in the classics. Well, good-o. But what isn't in the classics? A bit like the Bible. What was allowed in? What's been thrown out by the those who knew best, as in the Mao's? You know, they burnt how many universities? They're still doing it in Nepal and China, and Tibet, otherwise known as other parts of China that don't know themselves as being Chinese yet. So we have the victor's stories running, and we have that which people used to know. And the whole tradition of medicine going down through the Ayurvedic tradition and through the Nepalese and the Vietnamese and the Tibetans. You might ask yourself, how come they know all this stuff? And when I went to Korea, tell you what, it's an eye-opener. Korean medicine, Korean herbs. It's not Chinese at all. That little trilogy there, been having wars with each other, the Chinese and the Japanese and the Koreans, and who knew? Well, we didn't. We're white. And they just keep it to themselves. They're still having major altercations with whose belief system's right and who owns the classics. Well, I've got a copy of the Dongi Bogum, which you probably don't even have ever heard of. The Dongi Bogum is a lot easier to read than the Chinese classics because some bright spark over 400 years ago sat down in Korea and put it all together. So you've got everything pertaining to eyes there and herbs there and whatnot. That's helpful. So anyway, we have a bit of an issue if we're going to say that what the doctor said is fertile is fertile, and let's let him continue to drink only Coca-Cola, smoke untold funny cigarettes, go to bed whenever he feels like, watching porn and whatnot, not being able to get it up, but never mind, we can make a baby in the laboratory, I don't think so. Would you want to be made with his sperm? No. Okay, so are we biologically sustainable? No. So is fertility acupuncture biologically ethical? No. Ah, but everybody deserves to have a baby. Yeah, well, they need to fix themselves up so they've got decent genes so they can actually plant in that garden. I'm a gardener. You have to sort out the soil first. And then you might look at, what season is it? What's the best season? Is it in the shade? Does it need the sunshine? Then, once we've got all that together, do we have enough water? Is the water from the bore going to kill the plants? Is it going to kill us because it's full of whatever and we, you know, whatever? There's a bit of preparation before you just go and plant a seedling or a seed in, and then, you know, where did that come from? And was it sprouted or planted in a barren state of the moon? Because these things are actually rather important. Ah, oh, no, Heather, we've got this, she'll be right. Let me take you back to Ted Kaptos. Oxymoron, a placebo. Are we going through the motions? Are we actually making sure it's going to work? Are we setting it up to win? No. Mostly the answer is no. But we're going to get paid money for doing it, yes. That's because they're being nice and white and middle class. And they've been socialised into the doctor knows best. And you've got a relation. He's such a nice man. Yeah, but what's he doing dry needling? I don't care if he's a good chiropractor. Just what's he doing putting needles in you? But he's such a nice man. I guess you see by now I've just had enough of everything. It's just not working. We need to use common sense. What would your grandparents say about it? Well, my father used to call doctor the quack. Because he did. He's Scottish. You know, like you don't throw money away. What'd the quack say? That was what everybody talked about. Not now, they're next to God. But they used to. And they used to say, well, what rubbish, like the Belizean taxi driver. why would you go off and spend money on those chemicals when it's growing out there in the forest and grandma knows what to do? Well, mum probably doesn't, but grandma does. Okay, so I'm talking to the mums and the dads. Could you please get wise? Go and find your old relations, sit them down and have big conversations, because you're going to get to their age once at some point, and you're going to actually want someone to pay attention to you too, and you might learn something. And that you might learn something is not what's going to be gleaned from a book that says so-and-so said wherever and it's theirs. Because I'm here to tell you that there's so much plagiarism going on, it's just not funny. And just because your scope of practice has gotten you here doesn't mean to say somebody else wasn't saying that to that person or their teacher and they're not acknowledged. So who owns it? We all do. And we're not using it because we're shutting it down and we're going, that's mine, that you can't have it. So going back to pain. There's a lot of pain in that little exercise there, because the children aren't being born as they should. We're not doing survival of the fittest. Wherever I put that. We're not doing survival of the fittest. Then we have these euthanasia conversations. Yeah. Well, excuse me, what use is that person to themselves? Forget about them paying taxes. Are they happy? Would we put a dog in that position? No. So why are we? Just why are we? And we're going to say it doesn't work because there's a study that says that doesn't happen. Well, I watched it happen in my own life. I'm here to tell you the MMR is not a safe thing to keep in the child ever. That vaccination might be safe according to those who've got a vested interest in it appearing to be so. But for the rest of us who end up with all that toxic residue, that's an anti-life process. And that's an anti-life process too, so it's not ethical. So I'm going to extend what I was talking about. Is it biologically sustainable? Is it pro-life? Because that's not pro-life. It's pro-money. It's pro-business. So how do we define ethics? Did you look at what you had there as ethics? Because it's right and moral and all the rest of it to be doing what everybody else is doing so you don't get sued. Look at that. So we're not going to have a breach allowed to be born because my colleagues don't and I'll be sued if I do. Okay, why don't you just learn your job? That's what you supposedly gone to uni for. To be able to be useful in births. How come you don't know about what's in the pink kit? How come you don't know about just the basic stuff? Like undoing the baby exit. The gate's got to be open. The gate's shut and you're trying to have a baby. It's not going to work. So getting back to pain, the people who used to come were in physical pain. They had really bad joints because they were elderly, or they had really bad joints because they damaged themselves. And of course, they didn't know about icing back then. They were accidentally getting cold. They wouldn't have done it deliberately. That's just downright stupid. And is it ethical for an acupuncturist to even suggest that ice might be useful? Or vaccination, or there's another question. So we're going back there to who I was seeing. Really elderly people who knew how to look after themselves. They knew how to look after themselves. They had no money. They'd gone through wars. They'd gone through the depressions. Their parents had. They grew their own food. They didn't have Coca-Cola. They didn't have sugar. Sugar was a treat. If they had ice cream, it was a tiny bit on a plate. Once a week. It was expensive.
Mm.
Okay, you know, I'm nearly 62. I know these things. And so, you know, if you didn't eat what was on your plate, well, you got it served up for breakfast, probably cold as well. And you didn't like it, well, go to school. Tough. It's called boundaries. And you know, you can laugh at it, but, you know, like, when you don't have food, when it's survival, there's that or nothing. It's the grass out there. It's the dirt. Ask the Chinese. They went through it because somebody had bright ideas, and those bright ideas were not what the elders would have sustained them with. They were what somebody thought. And what somebody thinks invariably now is not actually helpful. We've got to go back and go, have we done this in the past? Is this what my great-grandparents would have done? And if the answer is no, stop it. Because it's not biologically sustainable, because they got you to here. What you're doing now is a brave new world of being robotic and plastic. And this medicine thing, well, what is it? Medicine's following biology, surely. So I'm just going to leave us with that little conversation and go back to pain. So who did I have coming in pain? Well, I've covered the physical pain. Okay, we've got the joints. We know that is B syndrome, so go back to causes of disease, and here we have all sorts of things. Now I'm going to cover all sorts of things shortly under ingredients.
We also had uterus was in pain. We had so much Shen disturbance it was beyond belief. Why?
Because shall we go back to the wars? Okay, Dad came home, wasn't the same Dad that left. Never was that person again. So they were all given cigarettes as part of their army rations, probably to warm them up, probably to save hunger, and also to stifle any feeling. They went out and had lots to drink, and they did things, and they had things happen to them, and they had to do things to other people, and they had to go through stuff that were not having a brave new adventure overseas, which is what the bright young 17 and 18 year olds signed up for, and the 14 year olds if they were big enough. And I have had three sons at those ages, and they would have grown up had they gone to war. They may not have come back, but they would have grown up. The ones who are now in their 50s and 60s who've never been to war, they have not grown up yet, and they may never. And they aren't, and they're fathering and leaving. Fathering being the physical act of impregnating a woman. Biological. The social fathering, now where's that gone? Oh, goodness me. Gonna buy Peter Pan and get a new one. She's got a pert set of breasts with her pert instead. She's saggy down below. Yes, well, she's mum's not been steaming. Of course she's saggy down below. We're not using traditional medicine. And it's Chinese medicine too, and it's Korean. It's called Cha Yok. What's Heather talking about? Go and look it up. Cha Yok. Perineal steaming. Anyway, we can sort out many things, and had I known that back then, it would have been a very different practice, and life would have been a lot easier. So we're looking at the Shen disturbances. So the parents of our parents were very severely damaged. All of their male relations had either gone to war or were dead, or were considered to be lily-livered and all the rest of that because they hadn't gone to war. You know, like there's all of that stigma. Didn't matter whether you're accidentally pregnant, you didn't go to war, big problem. Okay, so all of that stuff was on board for my patients back then, and they had railroad tracks all over their bodies, you know, like, you know, a stitch mark would look that big. We could get onto scars. I know rather a lot about them, you know. And so we've got a belly. Okay, so we've got a belly. Now, she's been slipped down here for the first baby, and she's had another seven more, but never mind. It wasn't dangerous back then to have a vaginal birth after a cesarean. And then she's been cut across here because they've taken out a uterus for whatever reason. And she's had a gallbladder taken out. And then we've had the appendix taken out. And we've got the stitch holes, like railway tracks, running all the way down there, about twice the size of everybody's, or three times or four times the size of everybody's laparoscopy holes. And she had a breast reduction because they were just enormous. And so now we've got slit and across here, and the nipples are taken off, put over there and sewn back on again. And latterly they've gone and had their horrendous heart surgery, and that's come all the way down here like that. And now they've got their gastric banding, and now they've got their gastric sleeving, and blah, 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 blah. Oh, and of course they've been hacked down below as well with the perineums. So I'm just saying that, you know, it's about chi, folks, we forgot. It's called flow, it's not. So getting back to the pain, the Shen disturbances of being raised by parents who were at war with each other because she had to get married to him, and then he went to war and he didn't like her, and blah, 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 blah. We've got mums not being able to work back here. Look, I was getting a 60% of a male income when I started working because I didn't have the requisite male bits back in 75-ish. Now that's ridiculous. How come? Just how come? So what we've got to do is realise that it hasn't been that long ago that women were totally disenfranchised, except they still are, and we still are, and we're still listening to the men. And this is all just foolish. Because what's not going on is us going back inside ourselves, going, look, we should be having a cycle, not shutting it down because we're nine and we're bleeding. We should work out why we're having that cycle and not have that cycle. Now, I didn't see anybody having that back then because it wasn't happening. Okay, so we might go, what's ethical about putting all these chemicals into our air, our water, our food, our bodies? There is nothing ethical. It's not biologically sustainable. Why are we doing it? New definition, biologically sustainable. And so, when we go back to the pain, people were in pain because they had HRT not happening yet, and they were flooding the beds. So just about all those women with really bad arthritis actually were menopausal. And they hadn't been made well, so this is going into, you know, like they weren't made well because there weren't the ingredients because of this here. And if we're not going to put it in context, what do we think we're doing? I've got other things you can watch online on women's lives in context. And this is sort of, I've done this because I've seen that. I've done this because I've seen neurological corruption, which was part of what I gave in 1994, and I didn't look like this because I was 22 years younger and I was accidentally pregnant with number four, not knowing I was pregnant with them, being so grateful I was never going to do that again. And I was actually doing, I don't believe it, I was actually doing this thing called, just plonk them anyway, I was doing this thing called What Should Be Happening. And I had a template. I was very clear in my head. This is health. It's not happening. And I was taught pathology. Well, okay, but we need to be talking about what's real. And so when I wrote the first course, which became Endeavour, the first course I wrote, it wasn't the course I learned from. The course I learned from had us all over the shop. I sat back and thought, you know, that's not smart. Because I'd done naturopathy. And that wasn't smart either, but I thought, well, I've been a mother, I think this is what did it. And I was mother of a kid who was really needed a lot of help because, you know, he had some problems. And so I went, well, I think we have to define health. So could you all write down, this is part of ethics, and what is health? Because I think you're going to be surprised. What do you call health?
Have a drink of water while you're out.
Okay. So when I was writing this course, I decided, I can't tell people how to fix things until we know what they should be like. It's too sensible. Health. Heather's definition. I'm sure I don't own that. But that was the one I came up with in 1981 in order to be able to write a course for acupuncturists. We're going to start with the ability to adapt to change. Okay. Anything that gets in the way of that, we have to undo. Same with treating pregnancy. Because pregnancy was my thing, because I had been pregnant and there was nothing written on pregnancy, in English particularly, and nobody wanted to have anything. Fertility didn't exist. Everybody got pregnant and they just had to have sex. Whoops. That was a non-issue. Birthing, that's what women did. The big money was in all this pain management. Before HRT, it was in menopause. And then once menopause, which is a construction, was taken care of with the HRT, then those who were doing that had to find something else, and they might have found fertility. Everybody found fertility. Everybody's sitting there in fertility. Excuse me? Who are the people who've got the money? People my age who want to not be like their mothers and fathers in the old people's homes. The baby bonus is the way we're going to make the money. But you need to sort out pain first. So you need to now go on a little diversion, which is called ingredients and flows. Because we don't do ingredients and flows, because medicine doesn't do ingredients and flows. So a third of your courses is about what doesn't work. And through that paradigm, oh dear, I'm using a dirty word. I've seen Subhuti Dhammananda's done a lovely presentation about ethics and TCM and all of that. And he's, you know, they'll talk about paradigms. Yes, we will talk about paradigms. It's a mental construct. It's in the middle heater. Sorry, not the middle heater. In the middle circle. It's all about paradigms. We've got this one here that doesn't have anything other than you're dead or you're not dead. The fittest live, and in an instant it all changes. We apparently are bright. Ha! Not any longer. But it says in this book here, and this research says, come on, what did your mother do? She might not have done what you're going to do, because she had more common sense. And then what you have signed up for, you have signed up for anyway. And so you can try and avoid it if you like, good luck. It will come. And so if you've got something that you're stuck on, could you please unstick it? Because you're not going to get past it. You're just not. You can leave that job. You can leave that man. You can get rid of that kid. You can do what you like. But the part that's got stuck is you. And until you move on from where you need to learn that lesson, it will continue in different forms until it doesn't. So what it means to me, I wrote up on there before, what does it mean to me when? Okay, who is I? I think that we might want to actually clear our cage and allow that I to be the one in charge of the ship. Sovereignty again. And I'm not talking about kings and queens, although I did say I'm a queen. I'm saying that because I'm not a goddess. I'm not a maiden, and I'm not a mother. Yes, my children are out of my nest. I no longer have rabbits in my lap. I can get stuff done, thank God. After 35 years of active mothering, I am now, at this moment, childless, which is a good thing, because I can't guarantee it will always be like that. So presently, I have more sovereignty over my time and resources than I have in the past. And I choose to be on my path, not on a path.